He unhurriedly wended his way towards the scenes of his childhood, and the lonely, silent, melancholic place in the kirkyard where, on Saturday afternoons, he would sit on the grass, leaning against the short, thick stone wall next to the spot where his departed young siblings were laid to rest. By this road he had often gone before in far different moods, when he accompanied a friend on an evening walk, or went to the meeting-places in the woods and the garden of Kinneber, or when he walked alone to enjoy in sweet musings the beauties of nature. But now a gloom darker than midnight overshadowed his soul. As he walked over the lonely sward leading to the dark pine wood of Charlton, the sea is hidden from his sight by the range of sandhills, but the cliffs at St. Cyrus beyond the North Esk, his boyhood paradise, are in sight the whole way. The sky is now gloomed as the sun struggled to shine through the darkening clouds. The last ears of the harvest had now been reaped, the fields were empty and bare, and the leaves were falling from the trees. Nothing now yielded him the sympathy for which he craved. Leaving the links, he proceeded along the high road and, crossing the North Esk by the bridge, hastened towards the braes of St. Cyrus. The scenes of youth have for everyone an inexpressible charm. Nature is then responsive, and everything reflects our ardent feelings. Even when we come to see that the charm lay not in them, but was a projection from our own minds, they retain their place in our sympathies on account of the feelings they recall by early associations. Here, among those sunny braes by the sea, George had spent the happiest days of his youth. From his childhood's home, he had gone out into the world and commenced the struggle of life. He had risen from a comparatively humble origin to a position of influence and honourable independence. He had done something as a poet to make his name remembered. Many warm friends had he gained, while the poor and downtrodden blessed him as a kind benefactor. Within the last 2 years, he had formed an attachment which wielded over him a malignant spell, and now, after a summer of such humiliations and such anguish as were more than his wounded spirit could bear, he returned desolate and alone to the home of childhood. The thought of all these things crowded in upon his mind. The vista through the valley of life, when he first started on its path, had been lit up with the rays of hope, and everything as he went on enchanted him with its novelty. He had now come to a point where he saw the same things in reverse. He had gone through almost every experience which a mere earthly life can give. The charm of novelty had fled. Those gilded imaginings of the future, like the memories of the past, were now tinged with despair. It seemed to him but a moment since he was here as a boy. The many events of those past years had now faded from its view. He had returned, as it were, to the beginning of the race, and found himself at the point from which he had started.